So a woman had a parakeet named Chippy, and she was vacuuming the bottom of Chippy's cage, and she didn't have an attachment on the vacuum. So she's vacuuming the cage, and the phone rings, and she's able to reach out with the other hand, and she picks, hello, 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 and then she hears a terrible sound. You know what it is. Chippy is sucked up into the vacuum. She hangs the phone up. She opens up the vacuum cleaner. She gets the bag out. She rips open the bag, and there is Chippy, covered with dust and dirt and grime. She gets him out. She does the best she can to get the dust, dirt, and grime off. She goes to the bathroom. She turns on the water, and she puts Chippy under, and she washes the bird the best that she can. But here's the best part. She gets out a hair dryer. And so she has Chippy right here. She's going, shh, and all feathers going everywhere. And so she's finally able to get Chippy all dry and clean again. Puts him back in the cage. A few weeks later, a friend asks, well, how's Chippy doing? And she says, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sort of sits and stares. I love that story. And I think we can relate to that. There are times in life when life happens to us that we just sort of sit and stare, don't we? We're in a series called When Life Happens, and today we're going to consider this, that terrible, ugly word, stress. Because when life happens, usually stress follows very close by. Life has a way of beating us up and knocking us down and daring us to get back up. It surprises us. It does not usually announce when it's going to do something that may cause this kind of stress in our lives. Like Chippy, sometimes we just sort of sit and stare because we're not sure what else to do. It just saps the energy out of us sometimes when life happens to us. Well, that word stress is an interesting word. Our word comes from the Latin word meaning to draw tight. And that's a pretty good description, analogy, a metaphor for stress. Think of these instruments here, the piano, the guitar. The strings on those instruments, they have just the right amount of stress. And if it's just the right amount, it will produce wonderful sounds. But if they're too tight, not only will they produce an ugly sound, they could break. And I think that sort of is a good way to look at what happens sometimes inside us when life happens and stress follows. Too much stress, too much pressure could cause us to break if we're not careful. When we think of stress, we think of the pressures that we face, pressures that you face every day. Too much to do, too little time to do it in. Cares and worries about your parents, about your children, about other family members and friends. Burdens that create that tension and pressure, mind, body, and spirit. If that tension becomes too great, something bad may happen. And I think we all have been there, or at least very close to that point. Based on studies, it's estimated that stress-related illnesses cost industry and business between $50 billion and $75 billion a year. Now, that's a lot of money, but another study says it may be as high as $200 billion. That's a pretty big difference, $50 billion to $200 billion. Studies show that 60% of people experience high stress levels at least once a week. 20% say they feel great stress every day. And I have a feeling that those figures may be higher. Stress is a major contributor to other health issues, heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidental injuries, cirrhosis of the liver, suicide, six of the leading causes of death in the United States. Stress can cause fatigue, insomnia, ulcers, headaches, muscle aches, chest pains, heart palpitations, high blood pressure. And according to the American Institute of Stress, yes, there is such a thing, 75 to 90% of doctor's visits are stress-related. Yes, stress can really mess with mind, body, and spirit. There is even a stress factor scale where major events in life are listed according to the stress that they cause, and they are given what's called stress numbers. And here are several of them. The death of a spouse, you would expect, would be number one. Stress number 100. Divorce, stress factor 73. Marital separation, 65. Jail term, 63. Death of a family member, 63. Personal injury or illness, 53. Marriage, 50. Fired at work, 47. Marital reconciliation, 45. Retirement, 45. We noted at the 8:45 worship hour that five of these have to do with being married. There's a lot of stress in that, right? The death of a spouse, okay, and then marital separation, marriage, marital reconciliation, divorce. So even if a couple having problems, if they're attempting to work things out and reconcile, it's major stress. Major stress. Now you notice the last one, retirement 45. I know some of us are thinking, I can't wait to try that out, you know. So, but that's up there. It can cause stress. Life happens. Look at how life can happen right there, just on that list alone. They're everywhere, stress factors, because life happens everywhere and every day. Financial strains, family problems, physical illnesses, job-related challenges, school issues. In other words, stress is created by life. Someone likened the reality of stress to a gardener who took great care in caring for his lawn, took a lot of pride in it. One year, it grew full of dandelions. He tried everything. He bought everything on the market. He tried everything he could think of to get rid of the dandelions. He even wrote the Department of Agriculture. What shall I try next? He asked. They wrote back. They said, try getting used to them. I know that sounds like a defeatist attitude. And stress factors may be as plenteous as dandelions. But we don't want to get used to them, do we? We don't want to. But we don't want to break under the stress either. So we continue our series today called When Life Happens, and we are going to lay a foundation upon which to build the next three Sundays when we look at the book of Philippians, and it has a lot to say about how to handle stress caused when life happens. So we're going to ask three questions this morning. Three simple questions. Number one, is stress a sin? And we all hope it isn't, right? Because if it is, we're in big trouble, aren't we? All of us are. But this is actually a good question to consider because in some Christian circles, if a Christian experiences stress, that indicates to their thinking sin in that person's life. It also may indicate a lack of faith. Reasoning being, if you have enough faith, you will not experience stress. I don't subscribe to that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think of Job and his friends. Here's Job, a very righteous man. The Bible says, greatest of all the men of the East. And you recall what happened to Job. And three friends show up, and basically they say, Job, you must have done something bad. And your faith must be weak. But he maintained his integrity. He knew he wasn't perfect, but he also knew that what was happening to him was not the result of his rebellion against God. And they were questioning his faith. In other words, if you had real faith, Job, you would not be experiencing this. No, that's not true. Is stress a sin? And the answer is no, it is not. And one reason we know it's not is because of question number two. And here's where you will need your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 12. If you're using our Brown Pew Bible, page 738. And Jenny, I corrected those numbers since 845. Luke chapter 12. Did Jesus experience stress? Well, Jesus gives this teaching that we're about to read in a discourse when he also told his disciples, be alert, be on guard, be ready to serve, be ready for my second coming. Jesus is telling them, you're going to be facing a bunch of stuff, and I want you to be prepared for it. He talks about bringing fire upon the earth, which is a metaphor for judgment. He talks about division, and here he means people are going to have to choose what they think about me. Some will choose to follow, some will choose not to follow. By virtue of that, there will be division. So he's preparing them for when life happens. And now he talks about himself, beginning in verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. Now, he's not talking about physical baptism, which he experienced 3 years before. Baptism is also used as a metaphor for being overwhelmed, suffering, and grief. And this is what he's referring to. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. One translation says, and what stress I am under until it is completed. So we ask the question, did Jesus experience stress? Yes. Which goes back to the first question, is stress a sin? No. It may cause sin. How we choose to respond to stress may be sin, but sin or stress itself is not a sin. Jesus says, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Let's go to Matthew 26 now, page 703. Here we find Jesus finishing up the celebration of Passover and the giving of his supper. Judas has already left to do what Judas was supposed to do. And Jesus and his disciples, they go to the Mount of Olives. Jesus is going to pray big time before he's arrested, tried, and crucified. We pick up the record in verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now those words alone indicate that there's something going on inside of Jesus. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now he leaves most of his disciples over here, and he takes Peter, John, and James a little bit further into the garden with him. I think it's because he wants his closest friends nearby. That should tell us something about Jesus. And so he leaves them here, and he goes a little bit further in, and he begins to pray. But he says to them, notice verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. One translation says, my soul is crushed with grief. You do not have to be a Bible scholar to see in these words of Jesus that he's under tremendous stress. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. My soul was crushed with grief. And then he says to them, stay here and keep watch with me. Now, Luke chapter 22, page 747. Luke records the same story, but he adds a couple different details. And I think it's because Luke, being a physician, wanted to include a few things that Matthew and Mark did not include. And we'll see that here in a few moments. Luke chapter 22, verses 44 and following. I'm sorry, let's begin reading with verse 39. Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Well, they end up falling asleep. Verse 41, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. And here's his prayer. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. What cup? The cup of suffering, that which is causing overwhelming grief and stress. Yes, Jesus is praying for the cross to be taken away, but, he ends the prayer with these words, yet not my will, but yours be done. And it was the Father's will for the Son to go to the cross. So Jesus did. You can see the emotional and spiritual struggle and stress inside of Jesus. Well, notice verse 43. A wonderful verse here. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits God sends to help people. God's own son needed help. And I imagine when God said, who wants to go? A billion angels raised their hands. And God chose one and sent him to minister to Jesus. Verse 44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And how much stress is Jesus under? His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You have to be under enormous stress for that to happen. Blood, sweat. That is why stress is not a sin. If so, Jesus would be one big sinner. It's what we do with stress, or rather what we allow stress to do to us. One more question for today. Does the Bible teach we will experience stress? And the answer to that is absolutely, it does. No uncertain terms. The Bible makes it very clear that even for a believer in God, a disciple of Jesus, life in this world is filled with troubles and trials. That should be of no surprise to us. Jesus teaches in John 16, verse 33. Let's read. Ready? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus was speaking about what they could expect. Hence, I have told you these things. And the reason he told them these things was so that they could have peace, his peace. It's possible to have peace even when stress occurs. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Some translations say, be of good courage, I have overcome the world. Here's our big thing for today. Let's read. When life happens from day to day and causes stress to come my way, from my Lord I will not stray, for in His will I want to stay. Sometimes when life happens, God seems to go silent. You have probably experienced that. You're not alone. Even in the Bible, there were periods when God seemed to be silent. Seemed to be. I think that's the key word. God seems to be silent sometimes. But He's never absent. He's always there. There were times in the Bible God would show up in big ways. We've been talking in Educare when I have my Bible story time with them on Fridays. We've been talking about how God shows up in big ways. And this coming Friday, we're going to be talking about God parting the Red Sea. But sometimes God doesn't part the Red Sea for us. But He's still there. Life happens. And sometimes God takes His time to work His will. And He tells us to be patient. And there are times, if we are spiritually sensitive enough, when we can hear God whisper. Or God will do something. Some people call these things God winks. It's like God's winking at you. You're not alone. I'm still here. I know what's going on. I haven't left you. And they can appear out of nowhere. And I'm sure you have experienced God winks in your life. One of my favorites happened when I was driving down from Wise to Norton. And I've done that many, many times over 30 years. One time I got down to the Esserville intersection. And the traffic, we were slowing down as the light, was changing. And then when it was time to go, we all took off. And then a little silver Chevy zoomed by me. A little silver Chevy. And as I so often do, I look at the plates because you can get a lot of good messages from license plates. You know, I use them on the radio and on our Facebook bright spots a lot. Well, there was a message on here. It was a God wink. That little silver Chevy had on its license plates PROV 3-5. PROV 3-5. Proverbs 3:5. Let's read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That was a God wink. But the second part of the verse, or the next verse, verse 6, is just as important. Let's read the whole thing now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Good teaching for when you're facing stress, when life happens to us. One more time, let's read this. When life happens from day to day and causes stress to come my way, from my Lord I will not stray. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, when life happens from day to day and causes stress to come our way, from You, O Lord, we will not stray, for in Your will we want to stay. And we confess our constant need for You and Your grace. We have no strength of our own, no insight, no wisdom. We cannot navigate the currents of life that happen to us in this fallen world. And life happens in so many ways, and Lord, there could be souls here this morning experiencing great stress and uncertainty because life is happening to them. Sometimes we're caught off guard and surprised, but we take comfort in the fact that You are never caught off guard and You are never surprised. You know full well what we're going through and what awaits us, and You have promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, even when You seem to be silent. You, as the Good Shepherd, are standing guard over our souls. Help us to trust in You with all of our hearts and not trust our own analysis of life. We do not understand things like we think we understand things. Our understanding is very limited. But help us to trust You and that you will guide us through when life happens. In Jesus we pray this. Amen. Please stand.